Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel Worldwide, KFUO, on this Open Mic Friday, 3-17-17. That means March the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And being an Open Mic Friday, this gives you the opportunity to call in at any time with a question that you might have on your mind of a theological nature. I'm not promising I can answer it. I don't have the whole Bible memorized, but I'll do the best I can. And if the answer isn't available today, I'll bring it up on Monday. At this time, our numbers are in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Now, that can also be in St. Louis, anywhere in North America. 1-800-730-2727. Now, I've got a question for you. Something happened to me yesterday, and I wasn't quite sure how to handle it. I was in an office with a number of people doing some business, and as I was about to leave, going to the door, a woman walked over to me, and in the midst of everyone else, she said, "I hear that you are a pastor." And I said, "Yes." And she handed me two tracts. A tract is a short essay of various theology. And she said, I hope that you will continue to be blessed. And I looked at the tracts, and I'm a professional theologian. So you only sometimes have to look at the cover to know whether or not what you're looking at is proper theology. And I call it fake theology, what she handed me. Fake theology, like fake news, is really contrary to the Bible. But what was I to do in that situation? Other people were looking at me and, you know, we're always said, use the opportunity to witness. But there was also business going on in that office at that time. And so I made the decision to thank her for the tracts, and I walked out the door. Now, is that what Jesus would have done? I don't know. Because obviously when you're in a business environment and you start a theological discussion with someone, well, it's going to interrupt the business and some people aren't going to be very happy with you, particularly if they're not Christian. And she had to stay in the office, so I couldn't ask her to go outside with me for a moment. Plus, I hadn't read the whole tract, but I had seen, just by glancing at it, sufficient to realize it was fake theology. So I decided instead, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to use it on Open Mic Friday. Because fake theology is rampant. What do I mean by fake theology? Fake theology is theology that doesn't correspond with the teachings of the Bible. I'll just give you a quick summary. We would call these individuals charismatics today because the tract she gave me had a number of things in it that just aren't correct. Every time they use the word baptism or baptized, in parentheses, they always said immersed. And then the proof that you were properly baptized with the Holy Ghost is that you spoke in other tongues. Now, how often do we have to show that that just isn't accurate? In fact, in the second tract, the form or mode of water baptism is undeniably immersion. Well, as soon as I read that, I knew that it was deniably immersion. It goes on, the very term baptize has for its root the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip, plunge, submerge, and immerse. All scriptural incidents of baptism support this position. Well, obviously, they haven't read the Bible, because the word baptize can also refer to washing of hands. And I guess one could say you could put it under water, but it also refers to the baptism of tables. For example, you have a meal, and then you kind of clean the top of the table. Do you take it upstairs to your bathtub and immerse it? Of course not. You just simply apply water. In other words, baptizo does not mean dip, plunge, submerge, or immerse. Now, they try and say that's what it means because they talk about John baptizing, you know, in the lake. And the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip went down both into the water and he baptized him. But they leave out other baptisms that occur in households where obviously there is no swimming pool. And one doesn't have to be much of a scholar to realize that the symbol for baptism in the early church was a shell. A shell. Why would you need a shell to apply water if you go ahead and you're always immersing people? In other words, either they don't know the Greek very well, or they're just so insistent on immersion that they just skip those passages where it clearly is non-immersion. Now, we're not opposed to immersion. No. I have a good friend, and he had some folks visiting his area, and he got to sit down with them. I told them about the Christian message, and they asked to be baptized, and they went down to the lake, and he did baptize them by immersion. So it's not wrong to do that, but it's not necessary. Very, very important to understand that. Another point that came through in what I call this fake theology is the idea of speaking in tongues. In fact, they go so far to say that that becomes the evidence that you are a Christian. And what do? On the day of Pentecost, when the New Testament church was inaugurated, the Holy Ghost filled all who were waiting for him, and they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I've attended these churches where they have tongue speaking. And not once have I heard their tongue speaking as a known foreign language, which is precisely what Luke writes in Acts chapter 2, that they were speaking, or chapter 1, speaking in known foreign languages. He even lists the various languages. Now, I don't deny that that could happen today. In fact, there, and I've said this before on the radio, there was a missionary who had been captured, I think it was in South America, and the natives were about to kill him, and he was praying to God, and all of a sudden he started speaking in a language that he did not know. And it was the language of the natives. And they stopped from killing him, and he and his wife later brought that particular tribe to Christianity. So I'm not saying that known foreign languages can't be spoken miraculously, but it certainly isn't the evidence that you are a Christian. And it's never, you can get phonographs and CDs of churches speaking in tongues, and it just sounds like gibberish. Now, anytime you put something into the Bible that's not there, that's only the tip of the iceberg. And I found another item later when I was reading this, and that was that you should never baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They say that would be a great contradiction in the Bible. For the disciples never baptized in any way but in the name of Jesus. Now, there's no doubt that one is to baptize in the name of Jesus, but from Matthew 28, that means to baptize using the formula Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, I was wondering, why do they not look at that as a baptism in the name of the Holy Trinity? Listen to this sentence. But Jesus said to baptize in the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These titles are not the one proper name of God, but terms that describe God's relationships to humanity. These three roles of God are revealed to us in the name of Jesus. Now, as I read further on, I suddenly realized that we're talking about a heresy called modalism. Modalism, what's that about? Well, it was found in the early church among false teachers that there are not three distinct persons. There's only one God, but he appears in three modals, in three ways, three perspectives. And here's what they say. The one saving name of God is Jesus. Jesus was the one God of the Old Testament. Wow. Now, there's no doubt both the Old and the New Testament talk a lot about Jesus. But to say that there are not three distinct persons, but that's just Jesus in a different relationship to humanity as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Spirit. So this is really serious. This lady, when she gave me this tract, not only believes that she has evidence she's a Christian because she can speak in gibberish, but she also doesn't believe in the Holy Trinity. And also, as indicated here, that the proof that you're a Christian is that you're able to speak in gibberish. In fact, they admit that a lot of people cannot understand what you're saying, so they always want to have an interpreter. Now, in the secular realm right now, a lot of people are talking about fake news. And what they mean by that is news that is simply wrong. It's either speculation without any evidence, or it is a lie. A lie that says, well, here's what we believe. For example, a few nights ago, a woman really made a fool of herself by bringing out the tax papers of President Trump, and it had been preceded by he never pays taxes. And when she brought out the papers, to her embarrassment, obviously, he paid more taxes than did other politicians, percentage-wise. So that was fake news, that he didn't pay taxes. Whether he wants to put out his tax accounts or not, you know, that's up to each individual to make a decision as to whether he should or not. But fake news is just lying. Fake theology is lies, but not about pastors, but about God. To say that Jesus is the only God, and sometimes he appears as the Father, sometimes as the Son, sometimes as the Holy Spirit, and that you are not to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because those are just titles of Jesus, makes no sense at all. And the idea that you have to be immersed, that is contrary to the Bible, because there are items that get baptized that are not immersed, so the word baptism doesn't mean what they say here. And, well, we don't even have time to go through the second pamphlet that she had given me, which is entitled, Water Baptism, Does the Mode or Formula Really Make Any Difference? And what that talks about is, no, you don't need to be immersed. I mean, you do need to be immersed, it says. And just applying water like with a shell. That's what we do at Trinity Orchard Farm. We baptized a baby recently, and there's four more coming up in the next few weeks. And we use a shell and apply the water to the head of the baby in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This whole idea of evidence of salvation, notice it is always something that you need to be able to see. But the evidence for Christianity is never able to be seen. There is no evidence, as the word is commonly used, for what we believe. How many examples do you want me to give? You're in a congregation, and I'm taking a look at the congregations that I've been affiliated with and such. When you look over the congregation, if you've been there for a few years, can you ever come to the conclusion that these people are sinless human beings? No. There's no evidence of that. But that's what the Bible says. Well, they're sinless? Are you saying they don't sin? No, I didn't say that. I'm saying from God's point of view, He regards them not only as sinless, but as saints. Saints because the sin that they have done has been forgiven. And they're also wearing the robe of righteousness. In fact, if a person has not been forgiven and not received the gift of the forgiveness of sins and is not wearing the robe of righteousness, they better not come to the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper is only, from God's point of view, for sinless human beings. Well, I'm not sinless. Well, yes, you are. In fact, Issues Etc. today is going to have a discussion on sinner saint. If you get the opportunity, I don't know what time it is. It's between 3 and 5 today. But you're going to find out that what percent are you sinner, what percent are you saint, and the answer is 100%. From the point of view of the law, you are 100% sinner. Just read Romans 7. Paul says, the things I want to do, I'm unable to do. The things I'm trying to stop from doing, I'm always doing. I'm a total sinner. But then read Ephesians and Romans and Galatians 3 and many other passages, which clearly show that nobody is considered sinless and righteous by God through works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. This is a huge difference. What does that mean? No other religion has this. If you ask anybody about, are you righteous enough to get to heaven? The answer is almost always no, because they consider being righteous as being good. Therefore, this is where law and gospel really gets messed up. That law and gospel is the understanding that under the law, nobody is righteous enough to go to heaven, but under the gospel, every believer has received righteousness from God. In other words, remember, God made a promise to Abraham. Abraham believed the promise. Guess what? He was declared to be righteous by God. Not because of his works, but because of his trust in the promise of God. No other religion teaches this. So, the tract I'm looking at, they say, you know, a lot of churches and a lot of people think that if you repent of your sins, then that would mean that you're saved. And they say, no, you have to be able to speak in tongues. See, that's a work that you're doing. Well, what's so beautiful about Christianity, in contrast to every other religion, which has to have some evidence why you're saved, Christianity has no evidence at all. When I look at my life, is there any evidence I should be saved? No way. Then why am I so sure I'm saved? Because of promises that Jesus Christ has made. For example, I am baptized. Well, what's important about that? Because connected to baptism is the promise. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Read Romans 6 to understand the true meaning of baptism. Baptism is something outside of us that God does to us, and therefore we are saved. It's so sad to see these individuals handing out tracts that are filled with fake theology and gives the impression that you better start doing some of these things, or else from God's point of view, you ought not to be considered as being saved. That's so sad to read that, because it is contrary to the Word of God. We talk about objectively, you can really be assured that you're saved because of the Savior Jesus Christ on account of your baptism. And in case that's not sufficient, he encourages you to come to the Lord's Supper. There are all kinds of ways. We need to be very careful when we receive tracts from individuals. And if you're not theologically adept, you ought to take it to your pastor and say, does our church agree with this? Or else no longer will you be baptizing infants. No, because they can't make a choice to be saved. And I'm sure this church, knowing where it's coming from, doesn't believe that you're really receiving the true body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament. You see, there's no evidence for that. There's no way anybody can look at that piece of bread and that sip of wine and say, ah, this is obviously the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Why do we know it is? In with and under it, we know that it is because God promises that it is. This is a huge distinction between Christianity and every other religion in the world. It never says that Abraham obeyed God, even though he did, and therefore he was declared righteous. No. Behind that obedience was faith. And what is faith? Faith is trust in the promises of God for salvation. We call it the gospel. Those wonderful good promises that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. Heaven is your home. And that's where you find the assurance of salvation. Not only are these people preaching fake theology, because the Bible clearly contradicts what they're saying, but they're blind to what is true. Am I saying they're not Christian? I'm not going to say that, because she may believe that Jesus Christ did die on the cross for her sins, but there can be a lot of false theology in other areas. In fact, we're going to be talking about that on Monday on the next Law and Gospel, how people are blind, but they're unaware of it. Blind to what? Blind to the Word of God. That's what's going to occur on the next Law and Gospel. By the way, today, Friday, Trinity Orchard Farm, between 4 and 7, they're going to have fish and Irish food that you can purchase at the church. You just purchase it, take it home. Sunday, I'll be there for the 8 and 10:30 worship services and for a Bible study. Till Monday, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.